we ended off last time discussing the Machlokes Achronim, whether the principle of E.F. Shel Psichas HaKaver below blood applies only to a Psichas HaKaver that is caused through the natural process of the rachem opening up or the rachem shedding, or even if it's caused by inserting a foreign substance into the rachem. So the famous position of the Noda Yehuda is that there's no distinction one whatsoever between a Psichas HaKaver that's internal Psichas HaKaver that is due to an external stimulus. And we noted the Chasam Sofer, Yerodea Simen Kuf Ayin Tes, Yerodea Kuf Ayin Tes, questions some of the Metzias ascribed to the Noda Yehuda. He says it's impossible that an etzba would in any way make its way into the rachem to cause that kind of an external psichas hakever. It doesn't sound like the Chasam Sofer absolutely rejects the theory of the Noda Yehuda. In practice, an etzba, he says, couldn't go up that far, but it doesn't sound like, in theory, the Chasam Sofer would be opposed to a external psichas hakever having halachically significant where the mitzias actually exists. The Chazon Ish is also skeptical about this position of the Noda Yehuda. The Chazon Ish is in Simen Pei Gimel Os Aleph. The Chazon Ish just asks that as it is, we have a machlokas Tanayim Chachamim Rabbi Yehuda, whether we say Bechlal Efshel L'Psicha Sakaver B'Lovad or E Efshel L'Psicha Sakaver B'Lovad. That's point number one. Point number two is the Noda Yehuda makes his assertion without any evidence. He assumes, as a Dabar Pasha, but doesn't explain how you know that Eim Psicha Sakaver B'Lovad applies even if it's due to an external stimulus. So the Chazon Ish wonders, shouldn't we take the orientation of trying to be mitmaid b'machlokas as much as we can? So we know minimally there's already a machlokas tanayim, so why don't we limit the scope of that machlokas tanayim to a psichas hakever caused by the natural cycle, as opposed to expanding it to a psichas hakever caused by an external stimulus? So absent any raya to support the Noda position, the Chazon Ish assumes that the default approach should be that we're memayi b'machlokas to the extent possible, and therefore we should assume that E.F. Shel Psichas HaKaver B'Lovad only applies when the Psichas HaKaver is caused through natural, the natural process. Sorry? That's what it sounds like he assumes halacha. The Sefer Chol Gizman points out that even though that's the impression that you get from the Chazon Ish and Sefer, the Talmid Chazon Ish, Nissen Karelis' Sefer, and some of the other Svarim, the Orchos Rabbeinu, coming out of Bnei Brak and the next generation, are machmir anyway. So while that might have been the Chazon Ish's position in theory, he points out that in practice it sounds like even the Chazon Ish's Talmidim were machmir lemaisa. And that the Aruch HaShulchan also assumes as a given that you have to be machmir on the Shaila. Aruch HaShulchan is in Simen Kuf Pei Ches Os Nun Aleph. Simen Kuf Pei Ches Os Nun Aleph, he has very strong language. He writes, quoting the position that argues on the Noda Yehuda, he refers to it as Chalila Lomarkei, that you should never consider such a position, Lekula. The Adarab, Yoser Mistaber, the Ayyadei Psichas Chutz, Yoser Gorim, Shiyari Adami Bifnim, Mikathi Asher Tigrom Yasias Chasicha Mi Bifnim, Shiyari Kathi Tiba. So he says it's more likely that an external stimulus would cause blood to come out than the natural cycle. I'm not exactly sure how you evaluate that svara, but he assumes that's Dabar Pasha, Yosef Mistaber, that an external stimulus is more likely to induce the flow of blood than the natural internal cycle. Again, yeah, not sure how you evaluate the svaras, but as a practical matter, the Aruch HaShulchan is emphatic that you have to be machmir, and that is the general position of most poskim in the last generation or two. Ramosha, as we'll see in a couple of shuvas, assumes that. Clearly, the Shevet Alevi assumes that. Rabbi Morgenstern quotes from Obayasha that way, and that is generally the strong consensus of poskim to be choshesh that ein psichas hakaver below vlad applies even where it's caused by an external stimulus, although the fact that there is a contrary position is at least out there for use as a sniff, where there are other mitigating factors that could come into play. And as we noted last time, Rav Avadya is meiko. Rav Avadya has his svek sveka that you can be messiah with the shitas Rambam, that we pass in efshar l'psichas hakaver b'lovad to the position of the Noda Yehuda, sorry, to the position against the Noda Yehuda, that E Eshel Psichas of Kever Blavlad only applies to a Psichas of Kever through a natural process. So he is Messiah of those two Machloksim to a Svek Sveka to be Mekel Lamaisa against the Noah de Behuda. Okay. Maybe you sound like the Rambam, who paskins that Efshar Lipsichas Akever Blah Blah.
And Lemaisa, you felt that no procedures are necessary.
Lemaisa, it sounds like he assumes that procedures, there may be other Als Psichas Akever, you don't have to be Choshesh for your standard run of procedures, right?
We pass my Bechad as Das Lemaisa in terms of seeing something come out?
Meaning?
Meaning, well, even if you
used
an instrument, according to
Chavis
Das, she's only
telling
if something came out, right?
Oh, you mean against another Behuda, right, that's what I'm saying, that most poskim assume like another Behuda, that Yav Shalom Sikha applies even to an external stimulus.
But,
right?
But this is a separate question of how large the thing coming out of it is.
Okay, that we're going to talk about now. What's the shear for Psicha
Sakever? Well, my question is the shear for what comes out of the Kever. Like, in theory, you can open up the kever a lot with a very small instrument, and then the Chavis Das could say that she's tahar, right?
Because again, that's what we're going to talk about now. What's the shear from Sifas Kever?
But I'm asking, this is the shear on the instrument size, separate from how much you open the kever.
Well, whatever size the instrument is can only open the kever the size of the instrument.
Not necessarily. Meaning, you can use two very thin instruments, open up the kever a lot.
I think the shaila issue is the same issue. Let me, if you have any questions after we finish presenting, then you can ask again. Okay, so assuming, as we do, Rav Yishonim in Lavlach and Shechan Aruch, that E Efshar L'Psichas HaKever Blah Blah, so what kind of Psichas HaKever are we talking about where we make this assumption? Now, the context where the Gemara invokes Ein Psichas HaKever Blah Blah is a classic context of Yoledes, or the context of Mapelas. If a woman has a miscarriage, or a woman spits out, or the body expels chasichos or certain substances, so that's a classic Psichas HaKever. But especially if we're going to assume like the position that E-Eshel Psichas HaKever of Vlad applies even to a Psichas HaKever from an external stimulus, you have to figure out how much of that, what size Psichas HaKever concerns us. Is it a kolshu, or is there some kind of a shear? So the Me'iri on Daf Kaf Aleph Amid Aleph in the Sugya in the beginning of the third parak, the Me'iri Daf Kaf Aleph Amid Aleph in the middle of a very long paragraph there, quotes the She'iltos, that when the Gemara invokes Yefshel Psichas HaKever B'Lodam in the context of Mapelas Chasichos, so there, the Gemara is only talking about a case where the baby is at least 40 days old. Up to 40 days, if the body expels that which has been formed in less than 40 days, the Shilta's writes, that's considered Maya Ba'alma. And then we say Efshar L'Psichas HaKever B'Lo Vlad. So E Efshar L'Psichas HaKever B'Lo Vlad only applies where the body expels something that's more than 40 days old. Then even if you don't see dam, you assume there must have been dam there, even if you can't tell. But if the body expels something that is less than 40 days old, then Efshar L'Psichas HaKever B'Lo Vlad, then we don't assume, we don't have to be choshesh that there was dam that we missed. So in the Sefer Pesachei Das, Rabbi Morgenstern Sefer, he assumes that this position of the She'ilta should transfer into a size. So you have to figure out what is the range of the size of a head of a less than 40-year-old fetus. And the way he presents it is that would be between 9 and 13 millimeters. So we assume that according to this position of the Shiltos, which is not necessarily quoted by later poskim la halacha, but if you're going to just present the possibilities in Rishonim, he assumes that disposition of the Sheiltos would lead you to the conclusion that anything less than 9 millimeters in diameter would not pose a problem of Psichus HaKever, and the minimal problem would be posed by something that is more than the range of 9 to 13 millimeters. But again, this position of the Shiltos, quoted by the Baal Tosos very briefly in Krisos, it's quoted by the Meiri here, but it doesn't seem to be quoted as a halakhic shir by the later poskim. What is quoted? So if you look in the Gaon, in the end of Simen Kuf Peches, the last piece in the Be'er Agra, the end of Simen Kuf Peches, Likut, the Gaon writes, She'ena mefura shira chasicha l'psichas hakever. When we say iya she l'psichas hakever v'lodam, it's not beferish anywhere how big is that chasicha that a woman is being mapeles, which would invoke the din of iya she l'psichas hakever v'lovlad. Aval b'perek zayin da'ola sarminan ein l'nefalim v'chulei. But the Gaon says, take a look at a Mishnah in Olos. What's the Mishnah Olos? Mishnah Olos is Perek Zayin Mishnah Dalid. Perek Zayin Mishnah Dalid. Mishnah writes, Olos Perek Zayin Mishnah Dalid. Aisha Shehi Mikasha Lele. The woman is having a difficult labor. Behotzi Uwa. Now she's in the process of labor. Behotzi Uwa Mibayas Libayas. And they move her from one house to another house. And she ends up giving birth to a nefel, which is going to create a tumas ol problem. So they move her from one house to another house. Harishon tamei b'safek, v'hasheni b'vaday. The first house is tamei b'safek, because we don't know whether at the time that she was in the first house, the conditions were ripe for tumas ol to be effective. But in the second house, where she's actually Mapeles, then there's definitely going to be Tumas Oel. Amar Rabbi Huda, Emasai, when does this then apply that the first house is Tamei Misafek? Bizman Shehi Niteles Vigapai. That's when her friends are carrying her, when she can't walk on her own. Then Rechoshesh, then maybe there's already going to be Tumas Oel in the first house, even if she's only Mapeles in the second house. Aval im haisam halechas, but if she's still walking on her own feet, when she moves from house one to house two, harishon tahor, the first house is tahor. She mi she niftach hakever ein penai lahalech. Once there is a psichas hakever, then she's unable to walk anymore. So if she's still walking, it must be that in the first house there was not yet a psichas hakever. And then the Mishnah concludes. Ein linefalim psichas hakever anchi agilu rosh kapika. That a nefel only affects psichas hakever if the size of the nefel is the size of the head of a coil of wool, a spitting tool that is referred to as a pika. Gemara in Becharas Kafes discusses this as a pika of Ariv, a pika of Shesi. What exactly is this tool? But some kind of tool used for weaving. Okay? Rashi explains, Becharas Kafes Amid Aleph, Dibra Maskal Psicha Sekever. The Gemara there in Becharas quotes this mission Olos. Kafes Amid Aleph, Dibra Maskal Psicha Sekever. I forgot to give you this Marmakom on the Marmakamas.
What's this Gemara?
Becharas Kafes Amid Aleph. Dibra Maskil Psichas HaKever. Okay, Kaf Beis Amin Aleph, Dibra Maskil Psichas HaKever. The Gemara there quotes the Mishnah Olos, Perek Zayin Mishnah Dal. It says Rashi. What are we talking about here? Isha Shemes Ubra Bimeya, a woman who's having a stillbirth. The Yashva Alamashver, and she's sitting on the birthstool about to expel the Nefel. The Niftach Kever Harechem Bibayaseh, and she has the Psichas HaKever in the first house. V'lo Yatsa Vlad, but the Vlad doesn't come out yet in the first house. So it's the Ual Bais Acher, and then they move her to the second house, and she expels the Nefil in the second house. Tamei HaBais HaRishon, ki'ilu nolad sham. The first house is also tamei as if she actually was mapelis there. The tumah boka, because there is the tumah bokas. V'huadin psichas hakever eino l'nefalim elo l'nefel shehagil rosho kvar sha'av rosho. V'huadin, the din of psichas hakever is only in a case where you have a nefel whose head is the size of a pika. So the Gaon understood, it seems to be reflected in Rashi, that Mishnah, that concluding line of Ein l'nefalim psichas hakever ad she'yagilu rosh kapika, is telling us that this is a shiur not only relevant to the local context of Tumas Ohel, but relevant to psichas hakever in general. It would be relevant to the principle of Yeshel psichas hakever below vlad. When do we say Yeshel psichas hakever below vlad? In a situation where the kever opens the size of a pika. But if the kever opens less than the size of a pika, if that which is being expelled from the body is less than the size of a pika, then we're not concerned with dam coming out due to the psichas hakever. Okay? So the Gaon b'Mitzray in this Mishan Olos gives us a shiur for what would be considered a psichas hakever of concern. We'll get there. So I came across a raiv in the Bali Nefesh, which I was surprised that I hadn't seen any of the later Sfarim quote this raiv. And then I found Rabbi Karp does quote the raiv, and he also expressed a surprise that none of the later Sfarim quoted this raiv. This is a raiv in the Madur Vasser of the Bali Nefesh in the Rabbi Ephraim Buchwald edition. It's the Madur Basra is printed in slightly smaller font size than, I guess, the Madur Kama. I don't know how it's printed or if it's printed in the older versions. So it could be that not everyone had access. I don't know the history of the printings. Maybe not everyone had access to the Madur Basra, the Rabbi's Bali Nefesh, although the Meiri, not quoting the Rabbi, the Meiri has this position as well there in the beginning of the third paragraph. But the Rabbi did. The Ravid writes as follows. I mean, before seeing this Bali Nefesh, I was under the impression that the Gaon was the one who brought to everyone's attention the Mishan Olos as being relevant to the Sugya of Psichas HaKever. But the Ravid quotes it. The Ravid says as follows. This is in Shara Prisha Os Tesvav. Shara Prisha Os Tesvav. I didn't put this on the Mar Makomos because I only discovered this yesterday. So the Ravid writes as follows. The Ikaman de Amar, de lo amrinan I afshel psichas hakever below dam, ela in kain havlad gadol. There is an opinion. Is it very hot in here? Okay. There is an opinion that we only say I afshel psichas hakever below dam if the vlad is gadol, if the vlad is big. Doesn't tell you what the shear of gadol is, but it's more than a kolshim. The sum of chahidah tanan ba'olos perishvi, and this position that there has to be a minimal size to be concerned about psichas hakever, they base on the mishnah olos that we just quoted. The mishnah olos that the gemara in Bukhoros quotes. Ein l'nefalim psichas hakever ad she'yagilu rosh kapika, etc. Says the Rav of Lam Milsehi, that is not a legitimate position. The Rav himself holds that Yeshua psichas hakever l'vlad is even the most minimal psichas hakever. But he says, don't quote me the mission olos as a source for a shir of psichas hakever. Chada d'lo yadinan shir apika mahu. Number one, he was bothered by Orin's problem. How do we know what a pika is? I don't know why that has to be the strongest kasha, so we don't know what a pika is, so find out. If that is a shear, if Chazal knew what a pika was, then there should be some way of finding out. And if we can't find out, then maybe we'd have to map around to a certain point. But a pika is something. That's the first kasha. That lo yadin and shear pika map.
Maybe it's so small that it's not like that.
Well, it sounds got to be something, and the fact that the Mishnah quotes it in the context of Tumas Oel means that it's a shear of importance, whatever that shear is. He has a couple other kashas. The most fundamental is that he understands that Mishnah in Olos as not giving him a shear for Psichas HaKever as far as Eyesho Psichas HaKever Lovlad, but only for the din of what's considered Blua or Toma Blua for Tomas Oel purposes. That you can distinguish between the shear of Psichas HaKever for Tomas Oel emerging through the Psichas HaKever and the shear of Psichas HaKever for Da. He writes, Olam, the Inyan Dam, Bekulu Yashav Lo Dam. When it comes to Dam, so there's no distinction between size. Any Psichas HaKever, it sounds like even a Kol Shehu, we apply Yashav Psichas HaKever below Dam. And the context of the Mishnah in Olos is local to Tumas Olam. The Rabbi Karr points out, this is in the first parak of Mishmeres Tarah, I don't remember the page, volume on the first parak. The Siddur Tarah basically says the same thing as the Ravid. He doesn't quote the Ravid, he probably didn't have this part of the Ravid, but the Siddur Tarah in Sivkot and Kafe makes the same observation that one could distinguish between the context of the Mishnah Olos in our context. Mishnah Olos is talking exclusively about Tumas Olim, that one, in order for Tumas Olim to be affected, the Psichas HaKever has to be a minimum size, otherwise it's not going to come out into the house. But as far as Yesh of Psichas HaKever L'Adam, that could be even with a smaller shear, perhaps even with a Kol Shehu. Now, it could be everyone would agree Kol Shehu isn't a Kol Shehu. There is a certain, as the later Svarim point out, I think Rabbi Morgenstern points this out, I think I saw this in the Chol Kuzman, some of the other Svarim, that even in the natural state, there is a minimal Psichas HaKever of a few millimeters, and definitely, as we quoted last time from Moshe and Ravosner, that a woman in the latter stage of the pregnancy is often going to be a centimeter dilated or something of that sort, and just what all the postmen assume, that that in of itself doesn't constitute a Psichas HaKever, though maybe the rite would be arguably the rabbi could be machmer that. But the rabbi, strictly speaking, sounds like it's a kol shehu, there's no shear at all. But Ramoshen of Kabbal Tshuvas assumes that the mission of Olos is operative for our purposes, and that is what creates the shear of Psichas HaKever of concern as far as the Yeshua of Psichas HaKever below Dam. So, for example, if you take a look at Orachayim Chela Gimel Simen Kuf, Orachayim Chela Gimel Simen Kuf, Ramosha assumes that the shear for Psichas HaKever is going to be Kirosh HaPika. And he writes, he assumes that's 3/4 of an inch. Doesn't exactly assume that a pika 3/4 of an inch the way he presents it is the following. He says, we don't really know what a shear pika is. However, the Noda B'Yehuda talks about the doctor inserting a finger into the makor. So even though the Noda B'Yehuda is wrong on facts, because as the Chazal Sofer points out, a finger can't go that far, but nevertheless, you see that the Noda B'Yehuda assumes that an etzba is considered Psichas HaKever. And we don't find any evidence that less than an etzba is Psichas HaKever. So then you have the right to be Mako with the insertion of any instrument which is less than a sheer etzba. Etzba, he assumes, is the halakhic etzba, which is a finger next to the thumb. What's that called in English?
The index finger.
The index finger, okay. So he assumes that when the poskim talk about espa, they don't mean a random finger, they mean the halachic espa, which is the index finger, and that on average would be 3 1/4 inches. So he assumes that less than 3 1/4 inches is not a problem of sichas hakever. So interesting, he has no evidence that that's the shear of a pika, but he assumes that the shear should be a pika, and since we don't have evidence for sichas hakever being a problem less than the shear of an espa, so we can go with the shear espa. That seems to be the presentation. And he says something similar in Yoredei Chelek Aleph Simen Pei Tes. Yoredei Chelek Aleph Simen Pei Tes. He writes again that we don't know what the Shear Pika is, but it's Mistaber that you have the right to be Mekel if it's less than an etzba. So Ramosha assumes 3/4 inch, which is around 18 to 19 millimeters. So that's a lot of the contemporary Sfarim quote. Rabbi Forrest has this. 19 millimeters, the Chok is minus 18 millimeters. But that's the position of Ramosha, that less than 18, 19 millimeters, you have the right to be meko and not be concerned about psicha sakever. Bade Shochem Simen Kupsari Dalid Siv Katan Lamed Aleph. Simen Kupsari Dalid Siv Katan Lamed Aleph quotes anonymous Morei Hara, who also assumed, the way he quotes it is less than 15 millimeters you're safe, but also assuming that that is somehow the equivalence of a Rosh HaPika. That seems to be the general approach of Poskim, and when we have a medical professional come and talk about these specific procedures, we can hear some of the details, but most of your standard instruments are not going to create a psichas hakever of that size that would concern us. Yeah?
So we saw in Chavastas that in addition to psichas hakever, we only have to assume dam came out if a chaticha or something comes out, right?
What chavas das?
It was brought up in the Pisachei Tshuva. He quoted Shem Tshuva Me'ava and...
It's something in Tshuva Me'ava and the Pisachei Tshuva Dalet.
Right, that's in Tshuva Me'ava.
It's also mentioned another time when he's arguing with the Nachlo Sheva.
Right. Oh, that chavas das. Okay, good, yeah.
Okay, so according to that,
mm-hmm.
Then this question isn't a relevant question, right? Because as long as you don't have some giant instrument coming out, it doesn't matter, right?
No, it could be. Even according to the Chavis Das, and even if you assume like the Chokim on the Nachlas Shiva, there's a difference between, in order to say Emsich has a capable Odam naturally, there has to be something that comes out. So that's a natural emsich of the kever lodam of childbirth or bimakil. But it could be that if you insert an instrument, so then you're creating a certain artificial emsich of the kever. Maybe we're concerned even if nothing comes out, because there's no expectation of something coming out. That's the norm for that kind of a emsich of the kever.
For the example of childbirth, why shouldn't opening up of an instrument be any different than the opening up of a child trying to get through?
Because when there's a forced entry, so to speak, maybe, that was the svar of the Aruch HaShulchan, which we still have to figure out exactly what the svar is, but it seems to be what he's saying, that if you have a forced entry, so then it's more likely to cause blood than if you have something coming out naturally.
Is it possible that just the Chavis Das and Shulam Rava who just... keep
Well, it is true that the Tshuva Me'ava takes that position against, seemingly against his Rebbe, that if you have an external Mesichas HaKever, then that then we're not concerned about the Dam. So that is true internally in his own position.
Right.
But you're asking, in theory, do the two have to go together? I don't think so.
Interesting. Does anyone bizman is that paskin like them and say that even if no matter how large the psicha is from the outside?
That's what we quote it from a Vivadia. The Vivadia is Meiko with the Sfex Veiko. Maybe you assume like the Rambam. That actually psicha kever l'dam, maybe you assume like the against another Yehuda. So yes.
Right.
Great. Okay. So let's talk a little bit now about the sugya of dam v'shofaris. Which is not terribly lemaisa, if not for a famous article of Rishon Zalman, which in the end is also not lemaisa, but at least makes it theoretically lemaisa enough for us to justify talking about it. Not that we need justification to talk about anything. But the Gemara has on Daf Kaf Aleph Amud Beis a shaila of Rabbi Yirmiya. Rabbi Yirmiya was famous for asking non-halach lemaisa shailas, right? Vayimei Rabbi Yirmiya Rabbi Zera. Haroa dam bishva feres magu. What's the din if you see dam through a tube? Meaning you insert a tube into the body, and now the dam is coming out minim makor through a tube, and it's not touching her basar. So do we say bimsar am rachman of lo bishva feres? So do we have a mid akra that a woman's only tmeya if she sees dam bimsara? To the exclusion of dam bishva feres, adilma hay bibsara mibay leishem etami bivnim kibuchos. So maybe bibsara tells us something else. We had multiple limudim from bibsara in the beginning of Perek Haro Kasem. So is there this niyut of bibsara below bishva feres? I'm late bibsara merchman of below bishva feres, etc. Now the Gemara has the machlokas abay and rava. In the end, it looks like, when all the dust settles, everyone agrees that there is an exclusion of dam bishva feres, and dam bishva feres would not be metame a woman. Why not? So, if you look in Tosas here on Daf Kaf Beis Amud Aleph, Dibur Maskol Ki Pligi Bechasicha, Tosas seems to assume that the exclusion of Shvaferes is because it's not Darko Bekach. That this is not the normal Derech Re'iyah, this is not the normal way that a woman sees blood, and that's why there's an exclusion of Dam Shvaferes from the Din of Tumah. The Rambam writes this as well. The Rambam, Halakha Tezayin, the Rambam writes, Ein derech isha liras b'shoferes. That's not the normal derech ri'iya to be ro'et b'shoferes. And that's why there's an exclusion of dam b'shoferes from Tumas Nida. Rashi seems to understand, the way Tosis presents Rashi, that the issue is more of chatzitza, not simply that it's not derech ri'iyah bekach, but in order for a woman to be tmeya nida, she has to have the dam bibsara. It has to be nogeya bibsara. Otherwise, if there's some kind of chatzitza between the dam and bisara, then she's not going to be Timea. Now that position that we just attributed to Tosfos and to the Rambam seems to be reflected in the Rush as well. The Rush in Perek Gimel, Simon Beis, quotes a Rash Mikotzi. In a case where a woman has a displaced Makor, and then the body expels certain chasichos. So there's a case where the rash is not to the woman of the bylaw, because that's not considered the derech riya. So that din of the rash is quoted in Simen Kuf Pei Ches Se'if Gimel. Simen Kuf Pei Ches Se'if Gimel. Hechnisa shvaferes v'tzia badam tahora. That's not the derech of Re'iyah. So here we have a distinction between chasichas gedolos, chasichas ketanos, because by chasichas gedolos, the efshel of chasichas kaver below dam. Fine. But the principle here is that dam b'shvaferes, and the analogous case of nekar mekor, is not going to make a woman tameya because that's not considered the derech re'iya bekach. But what is the exact chisaron of derech re'iya? What is it about dam b'shvaferes that makes it not derech re'iya bekach? So the Ba'al Yishulchan points out Machlokas, the later Achronim here. The Ba'al Yishulchan is in Simen Kuf Pei Ches Se'if Katan Lamed Hei. Simen Kuf Pei Ches Se'if Katan Lamed Hei. So he quotes one approach from the Divrei Chaim, the Sanzer Rav, Chelik Beis Simen Samach Gimel. Chelik Beis Simen Samach Gimel, which is also the approach favored by Shlomo Zalman in the Tshuva that we're going to quote in a few moments. Divrei Chaim writes, Kol Iker Tumas Aisha Hu Be'ez Yitzias Adam Yamakor Lu B'Sara Shebifnim. That the critical point in defining woman as an Ida, as we've seen before, is where the Dam leaves the Makor and enters the Prozor, enters the area before the Beis Achitzon, inside the body. Umashi Yishav Be'ez Amikra V'Dam Achar Yitzias B'Sara Shebifnim L'Ech Baslanu. Whatever happens afterwards is of no concern to us. A critical moment in defining a woman as an Ida is the point at which the Dam leaves the Makor and emerges in the next part of the body. After that happens, it doesn't make a difference anymore where the Dam goes next. V'chein, im lo yatsa ha-Dam derech ha-Basa she-bifnim, masai she-yatsa me'am Makor, kemen shelo hayem b'Basar she-bifnim tahora. So therefore, if the dam leaves the makor and doesn't go straight into the prostor, so then she's not going to be tmeya nida. So the chisaron of dam shvaferes, why is it not derech riyah bekach? Derech riyah means the dam leaves the makor into the beis achitzon, and here the dam isn't leaving the makor straight into the beis achitzon. The dam's going through a tube. So therefore, it's not derech re'iya dekach. So according to that, Father Shulchan points out, and this is basically what Shlomo Zalman writes, according to that, so if you place a shofaris directly at the point of contact between the makor and the area exactly chutz makor, even if it doesn't go into the makor itself, as long as it prevents the dam from naturally flowing straight from the makor to the prostar, so then the woman's not going to be Timea Nida. Okay, so that's approach number one. Normal derech riya is where the dam naturally flows Neha Makor Lid Sara, the internal Bisara, the area of the body right outside of the Makor. So if you're going to insert a shofaris, it's not flowing naturally from the makor, did sara. The second approach, which is explained by the Shulchan Aruch Harav among others, Shulchan Aruch Harav here in Simon Kuf Bei Ches is Osches, is that it's not derech riyah bekach because the dam emerges as a result of the shofaris. It's the shofaris that is causing the dam to come out. So there's some interference, and the shofaris is causing the dam to come out. So according to that, dam and shofaris are only relevant if you insert the shofaris into the rachem itself, and that insertion causes the dam to come out. So that's not derech re'iyah bekach. So Rav Shlomo Zalman's famous essay was printed in Noam, Volume Zion. Noam is a now defunct rabbinic journal published by Rav Kasher. Rav Shlomo Zalman has a very famous article in Noam Aleph about artificial insemination. And this is in Volume Zion, which is reprinted in Mincha Shlomo Chelek Beis Simid Ayin Beis. Mincha Shlomo Chelek Beis Simid Ayin Beis. Somehow it looks shorter in the Mincha Shlomo because there are more words on the page, but it's still pretty long there. Also, it's in Noam, it's over 40 pages. The article is entitled Hatsa'ah L'Takanas Nashim B'Inyanei Nida. So Shlomo Zalman here is addressing the problem of Orthodox infertility that we've discussed previously, where a woman's natural ovulation occurs prior to the time that she would normally go to the mikvah at the end of her Yemei Tara, which would pose a problem for becoming pregnant. So we discussed this previously in the context of the suggestion of the Kudras Hashurim, that maybe we could be Mekel on Tzakanus or Zera, which might end up shaving off a day, and that the discussion, it could be Mekel on the 5 days of Paletz HaShech Lezera, be Mekel on the fifth day. Those are all solutions of minimal help, because that'll only shave off maybe a day or two max. Sometimes women, in the before we had the array of medications that could help regulate ovulation, so those 1 or 2 days wouldn't always help. So Mazaman here assumes that he's not willing to be Mekel on the Takanus of Zera. He is willing to be Mekel on day 5 of the first 5 days where that's relevant. But Rav Shlomo Zalman writes, again, that only helps in certain situations, but he wants to suggest a more radical and further reaching possibility how to allow women in the situation to become pregnant despite early ovulation. So his basic suggestion is that since in principle dam de shoferes is not metame, so a woman can insert a properly designed rubber shoferes into her body prior to the expected onset of her re'iyah in a way that would prevent any dam from going anywhere other than through the shoferes, meaning it would be sealed tight in such a way that he writes that he discussed with doctors a way of doing this, in such a way that dam would not be able to go around the shoferes, it would only go into the shoferes. And that way, the woman would not become tmeah. Now he acknowledges, the way he presents it is about locus rishonim, as to whether in this situation where all the dam comes out of shvaferes, but she has a normal re'iyah, other than that, are we still concerned that maybe she's a Nida the Oraisa, even though we're not going to be machmir to treat her as a Zava. So he assumes at least you have to be Choshesh for that, that maybe on a Oraisa level she's still considered to be a Nida. So you still would require Shiva Nikiyim. Sorry, you still would require 7 days. You wouldn't require Nikiyim. You just require 7 days. So then she could go to the mikvah at the end of 7 days instead of at the end of 12 or 11 days. And he says the shofar doesn't have to come out of the body entirely, because as he pointed out from the Divrei Chaim, the only critical point is the point of connection between the rechem and what's immediately outside the rechem. So as long as the shofaris takes the dam outside of the rechem into the prosdor, it doesn't have to come out of the body. And then he discusses, so we're going to treat her, according to Sav, it could be she's not Tamei on any level. But at least after you have to treat her as a Nida, but not a Zava. So she's going to have 7 days, although they don't have to be Nikiyim. So do you need a Hefsek Tara at the end of those 7 days before she goes to the mikvah?
Why would you know
she's
a Nida?
I'm sorry?
She's a Nida.
A Nida also needs a Hefsek Tara. A Nida, Nida min haTorah. Right before she goes to the mikvah, at the end of day 7, she has to make sure that she's not Sidam anymore. Right? So you're treating her as a Nida d'Oraisa. So she still has to do perhaps a Hefsek Tara. And maybe we should be Choshesh at the moment that she's taking out the Shvaferes to do a Hefsek Tara. Maybe there's going to be a little bit of Dam that comes out that she would notice. And she's the Cheskas Roh at that point. So then it gets around, Os Tesvav. So maybe she'll be careful to be Bodekas right away. So you don't have to be Choshesh for Shama Rasa Dam Benevad if she's going to do it the second she takes out the Shofaris. And anyway, even if she's, if there was Dam that came out the Shofaris before, but maybe since that is not Dam Temeya, we could still treat her as being Becheskes Tahora. And maybe if she's Becheskes Tahora, she doesn't even need the Hefsek Tara. And you don't have to be concerned that any dam is going to come out after you remove the Shvoferes. He says, Mashal Ma'adavar Domeh, if you have a woman who is Megayer. So even though a few days before she was Megayer, she saw Dam, but we don't require her to do a Hefsek Tara once she's Megayer, because there's no Cheskas Tumah that's created, because all the Dam that she saw was Begiyusa, which doesn't concern us. So even though at one point it was Maya and Apasuach, but since now the Dam has stopped, as far as we could tell, so you're not Mechayer to do Bedika, just because it was Mayan of Pesuch a few days ago. So here also, she saw Dama Shavaris for a few days. Now she stopped seeing. So you don't have to be Maxiker Becheskas Temeya to require a Hefsek Tara. He says maybe you could create a situation where you could do the Hefsek Tara even when the Shavaris is inside her. It doesn't have to be a full bedika, because sometimes you don't always need a full bedika. Like a basula does a bedika, so it's not a full bedika. You can't get into the chavrut sakin. So maybe just keep the shvaferis in, and you'll do a hefsek tara as best you can through the shvaferis.
You have that amaisa you can do with the shvaferis.
1 second. And then he says, you don't have to be choshesh that when you're inserting the shvaferes, that she sees the tipas dam, which would make her nida gemura, because since there's no psichas hakever, and there's no other dam coming out, you don't have to worry. Even if there was dam, maybe that's because of a scratch from the insertion of the Shvaferes, and not Mihamakor. And even entertains for a minute and rejects, maybe this is an etza for a woman who lives in a place where there's no mikvah. So how's she ever going to be Torah Labayla? So maybe she could do this also. So that's not going to work because he's koshesh, so maybe she's still in need of the raisa. But if not for that, let's say in a case where it's all derabban, dam chimud. And the selekas damim, we'll talk about dam chimud, even if a woman is postmenopausal, she gets engaged to be married, so he has to kamshiv in the kiyim because of the concern of dam chimud, even if she's miselekas damim. So let's say you have this older woman who's getting married in a place where there's no kasher mikvah. So there, this would be a good etza, because dam chimud is only the rabbanon. So you can insert this before the 7 days of tavu alinase in order to save her from any potential riyasah. Okay. So this is his major suggestion to solve the problem of orthodox infertility. At the very end, after his summary, after 42 pages, he writes, "B'siyam ha'mamar hineni chozer madgish, as asher kasafti kfar b'fnim, shekal ha'dvarim mechuvanim b'shvil nashim chashuchei banim." Number one, this is only for extenuating circumstances. "V'af gamzoz rak b'tor hatza'ah," it's only a suggestion, "v'gedol l'torah v'lo l'maisa." In the next volume of Noam, volume Ches, there is a three-line paragraph, signed by Rishon Mezamen, that he retracts his suggestion from the previous volume because none of the Gedolim bought into it. So it was a suggestion, Mahalacha B'lola Maisa, and the next edition, the next volume, Shlomo Zalman was closed there, that he wasn't willing to rely on this Lamaisa because no one agreed with it. Interestingly, in the reprinted Mincha Shlomo Chelei Beis, as far as I could tell, unless it's in a footnote in the middle of the article, which I didn't notice, but as far as I can tell, they didn't include any footnote or any reference to the fact that Shlomo Zalman was closer. So that's a little bit curious. I'm not sure what's going on over there. But if you will look at the Chuv and the Mincha Shlomo and find any such disclaimer, please let me know. I couldn't find it. Okay, I think we're out of time. Next time we'll talk about Dam Besulim. And we could take a vote if you want. If you want to have the Bechina...